Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. How wonderful, how marvelous the Savior's love for us, his people, his covenant people, his elect people, his chosen people, his blood-washed, spirit-sealed people. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast this week. We are spending time in Psalm 84, verse 12. We are so blessed of God, because we are a blessed people. Why are we a blessed people, you ask? Because we have put our trust in the Lord of hosts. Who is the Lord of hosts, you ask? Well, he's the God, the one true God, creator of heaven and earth, who commands every army. What army, you say? Well, he commands the army of angels. He commands the armies of men. He commands the armies of creatures. He even commands nature. He commands hail and wind and rain. Our God is a man of war, and anyone who attacks his people is in for a fight they don't want. So let's read Psalm 84, 12 in three different translations. It reads in the King James, O Lord of hosts. Notice that host is plural. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man, the woman, the child that trusteth in thee. Are you trusting completely in the Lord? Then you're blessed. You have nothing to worry about. You can sleep soundly. Go to bed. Sleep well. He will handle your enemies. God, says the psalmist in Psalm 121, he who keeps Israel, he who keeps the church, does not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper and my keeper, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the Common English Bible, it reads like this: Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy. And the Amplified Bible reads, O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts in you. To trust in you is to lean on you, to believe on you, to commit all, and to confidently look to you, and that without fear or misgiving. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, because you're on our side. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one. No one would dare. Only a loon, only a crazy person would dare. And yes, the world is full of crazies. Satan is crazy. His fallen angels are crazy. Those who follow him are crazy. But not victorious. Crazy, yes, never victorious. Bless us, O God. Holy Spirit, have your way with this lesson. Lead us and guide us to all truth. We turn to you, Holy Spirit, always for illumination and understanding. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On Monday, we spent considerable amount of time considering what the term Lord of Hosts means. On Tuesday, we talked about how the Lord has these hosts, plural, or these armies, which are distinct because the people in them are distinct one from another. Men are distinct from angels, and angels and men are distinct from what? From beasts or creatures. So you have the armies of men, the armies of angels, and the armies of the earthly creatures whom God employs to fight battles on his behalf. Well, on Tuesday, we looked at how the Lord leads the armies of men. Armies of men. And of course, these studies are just, listen, it's just a minuscule study. It's a superficial study. It's not exhaustive. So many examples can be given from the Old and New Testament how God called men and women to fight his battles. And so today we're looking how the Lord of Shabbat commands the armies of the animal kingdom. Yes, indeed, God commands what armies? The armies of the animal kingdom. When you read the Bible is not a book with fables in it. The Bible is a book of historical truths, historical facts. The things written in the Bible are factual. For example, those creatures, those animals, those terrestrial things that God has created, that he has enlisted in his armies, are frogs. Did not the Lord use frogs against the Egyptians? The Lord God used lice. We see that in God's creaturely army, he has employed frogs, lice, worms. Yes, little tiny worms he has. God has used lions. He has used bears. God has commanded lions. God has given commissions to lions and assignments. He's also done that to bears. God has used whales. God has used ravens. God has used ants. God has used hornets. Think about it, hornets. So you have frogs, lice, worms, whales, lions, bears, hornets, ravens, ants. And God has even used serpents. Remember, God used fiery serpents. The Bible says in Numbers 21 that when the children of Israel murmured, the Lord sent fiery serpents against them. Sometimes God employs these creatures to fight his people, to spank them, to discipline them, as in the case of Numbers 21 with the fiery serpents. Other times God uses these creatures to fight, to bring judgment, to defeat the enemies of God's people. So, again, throughout the Bible, and this list that I just gave you of frogs, lice, worms, whales, lions, bears, hornets, ravens, ants, and serpents, it's not exhaustive. This is a minuscule list. Go through your Bible and you will see all the creatures that God has employed, that God has commissioned and dispatched on numerous occasions to do his bidding, to do his work. That's what it means when the Bible says he's the Lord of hosts. If you're a wayward servant, if you're a wayward prophet like Jonah, God will use a whale to taxi you, to bring you to where God sent you and you didn't want to go. You see, my brothers and sisters, again and again, the Bible teaches that God commands a vast army with different battalions, angelic battalions, human battalions, creaturely battalions, and even the battalions of nature. Did not Joshua pray? Did not he call on God and said, would you cause the sun to stand still? And the Bible says that God heard the prayer of Joshua and that God said to the sun and the moon, stand still. Stop your rotation until Joshua has the victory in his pocket. Even nature is subject to God. Nature is subject to God. So today, Wednesday, we want to look at how the Lord's army is made up of creatures from the animal kingdom. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list or an exhaustive study. This is just very, very, very simple, superficial, but it's just to give you an idea. Now, turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17, of course, this is the story of Elijah. 1 Kings 17, we left off yesterday talking about the burgomaster, the German mayor, who happened to come upon a home whose door was open. And the burgomaster, after hearing the little boy's fake story, said, I will be God's ravens, and he delivered the orphan and the widow mother of starvation. And so today we pick it up with 1 Kings 17, and we're going to be reading about ravens, but the story is not about ravens. 1 Kings 17:1 says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded. What has God done? Well, God, listen, God is the commander-in-chief. You know how the President of the United States is the commander-in-chief of our military forces? Well, God, the Lord of hosts, he's the ultimate commander-in-chief. And he says here to the prophet Elijah, I, as commander-in-chief of the host of heaven and earth, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, in verse 9 it reads, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. Notice how yesterday, God saved the little boy and his widow mother from starvation by using, commanding, if you will, the burgomaster to come to their aid. So today we pick up the story where now a widow who has been saved and will be saved from starvation is now commanded by God to join his army and to support and to feed prophet. Now, I need you to understand this. God commands the ravens because God has a special relationship with the ravens. If you were to take your Bible and if you were to study every passage that there is on ravens, you will see that God and the ravens have a unique relationship. Many have asked me when I used to teach on 1 and 2 Kings, out of all the birds that God could have sent, why did God send the raven? And I used to say to my students, don't you know? And they said, no, we don't know. I said, well, between God and the ravens, there's such a special relationship that no other bird enjoys. God and the ravens have a very tight relationship, going back to their days in the nest. And so because God saves them when they're hatchlings, God saves them immediately when they come out of their shell, and God supernaturally keeps them alive, they're so grateful that whenever God needs the ravens, like in the case of Elijah, he can send them. There's no other bird on the face of the earth that has such a close relationship with God as do the ravens. And the same with the widows. Widows are beloved of God. No other woman has a greater relationship with God. You study your Bible. You go through every passage of Scripture where there's mention of widows. And no woman is closer to God and cared for more by God than the widow. This is why when God needs a favor, when God needs to send a woman, when God needs a woman in his army, he commands the widow. You see, to whom much is given, like the raven, and like the widow, too much is required. So on both instances, God, who is the commander-in-chief, commands the raven, and he commands the widow. Why? Because this is a time of war. The prophet Elijah is battling King Ahab and his apostate wife Jezebel. This is a time of doctrinal war. See, people don't get it. And this is why these lessons are so important, because it brings to the fore what God is doing in times of warfare. This is a time of doctrinal warfare. The protection of the faith, the guarding of the faith. And so here, a ravens and a widow are commanded to take care of one of God's top soldiers, one of God's top military men in the prophet Elijah. Well, today, let's look at what we have here in our outline. And in our outline, I have the Lord of hosts commands two hens. Now, listen, God uses two hens as soldiers. Remember, he's the Lord of hosts. And what's at stake here, what is at stake here is warfare. So let's go to the first story. The title of the story is posed as a question. Who told the hen? Who told the hen? Well, obviously, the answer is God told the hen. It says John Brentz, a friend of Martin Luther, the German reformer, who himself was one of the stalwarts of the Reformation, incurred the hatred of Charles V, who made many attempts to kill the minister. Now, why was Charles V wanting to kill this minister of God? Well, because this John Brent was a defender of truth. Charles V was pretty much like Ahab and Jezebel, a promoter of great doctrinal error. So you can see there the battle. It says, hearing that a troop of Spanish cavalry were on the way to arrest him, he cast himself upon God in prayer. Notice, who do you turn to? Your commander-in-chief. Because you're in a warfare. You're in a battle. You're engaged in the struggle of good versus evil. And listen, he cast himself upon God in prayer. Every time there's a need, every time we need answers, every time we need direction, we need guidance, we should always what? Call a meeting? No. Discuss what we should do? No. The first thing is we cast ourselves upon God in prayer. At once, says the story, the guidance came. Take a loaf of bread and go into the upper town where thou findest a door open. Enter and hide thyself under the roof. This sounds pretty much what God said to Elijah. Go hide thyself in the brook Cherith. In this case, go hide yourself in a roof. He, John Brentz, acted as he was divinely instructed and found the only open door and hid himself in the loft. For 14 days, he lay there while the search continued. Those soldiers were up and down that town looking to arrest him because he was to be hanged. The one loaf of bread would have been insufficient, but day by day, a hen came up to the garret and laid an egg without cackling. On the 15th day, the hen did not come, but John Brentz heard the people in the street say, the soldiers are gone at last. Thus, the divinely guided, supplied, and preserved preacher was able to miraculously escape the clutches of Charles V. This little story comes to us by means of the magazine, the Sunday School Times. But notice, the man prayed. And what did God do? Send him a cook? No. Send him a lot of groceries all at one time? No. God commanded a hen. For how many days? For the amount of days that the soldiers were looking for him and for the amount of days that he was hiding. Once the soldiers left, the chicken was told by God, the hen was told by God, you don't need to go today. I can imagine the conversation between the chicken and the Lord. Well, why not, Lord, said the chicken. Well, because the soldiers are now gone, and John can leave. You don't have to take him another egg. You don't have to drop another egg. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. He uses hens, and he uses widows. Amazing. Now, the next story is called The Unexpected Meal. A friend of mine, Miss L. Dennis, of the Heart of Africa Mission, spent her Christmas Day as the only European in a Congo village. She was without food at dinner time and kneeled at her bedside in the tiny one-room native hut to pray. There it is again, saints. There it is. Now, what is this woman, what is this missionary engaged in? She's engaged in warfare. What warfare? She is invading Satan's kingdom, the Congo, the Africa. Those people in the Congo, those people in Africa worship false deities. They worship demons. She's going in there with the gospel message. She's a soldier of light. And she has no food. She prays, "Give me this day my daily bread." As she arose from her knees, out flew a little hen with a loud cluck, cluck, cluck. She had laid her first egg under the bed. Again, this comes to us by means of what? The Sunday School Times. You see, my brothers and sisters, I can give you a myriad of stories showing how God employs these animals to service his people, the members of the militant Church of Jesus Christ. Now you say, but Pastor, this doesn't happen to me. I said, well, remember, these people are in the forefront of the battle. John Brent's. You want that kind of a miracle? Be a reformer. You want the kind of a miracle that Miss Dennis experienced? Be a missionary. Be a missionary, and you'll see how God will dispatch his host to serve you. I have one more story. Here it is. The Lord of hosts commands a widow. A widow. The story is titled, Another Unknown Widow. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Who's that? The Prince of Preachers. Charles Haddon Spurgeon tells us that a little old woman, ill-clad, came into his study one day shortly after he had made a great plea for his work. In other words, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was raising money for the ministry. That's what it means. When it says he made a plea, a great plea for his work, it's talking about the missionary work. We need funds. We need funds to push forward the work of God. When you hear Sister Hillary pray on Sundays for the offering, she's always talking about how, Lord, bless these tithes and offerings so that your work can go forward. She always blesses me when she makes that a part of her prayer every time the offering is collected. She always emphasizes that part. And that is key because this is what we're doing. We're employing these finances for what? To advance the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. We are pushing back the forces of darkness, and we need resources to do this. So Charles Haddon Spurgeon tells us that a little old woman, ill-clad, came into his study one day shortly after he had made a great plea for his work. And she said in a strange way as she laid a little package on the table, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Before he had time to unwrap the package, the woman was gone. He never knew her name, but she left her gift of 50 pounds. Back then, 50 pounds was like $1,000, a lot of money. So notice, the little woman who did not spend the 50 pounds on fancy clothes, she was ill-clad, she came into his office, she came into the preacher's office,
She came into the office of the Elijah of her day. She put the money down on the table and she said, thus saith the Lord, I have commanded, as the commander-in-chief, I have commanded this widow woman to sustain you and the work. You see, my brothers and sisters, God has a great army. And whatever we need, God will provide. Listen, you know, when you put an army out on the battlefield, there's got to be a supply chain to get stuff. You know, right now there's a great battle going on between Russia and the Ukraine. And the Russians, they're having a hard time winning the battle because their supply chain stinks. They have a very poor supply chain. And if you don't supply your army with food and with munitions and with the clothing that they need and the petrol that they need, the gas that they need, the army doesn't make any progress. Well, notice God knows how to get things to us because God has a great supply chain. The supplies can either come by angels or by men, as in the case of this widow woman, or by way of ravens or by way of hens. God, the Lord of hosts, is amazing in shuffling around and moving his supply chains and getting the supplies to the soldiers he's got on the front lines. Are you a soldier for Christ? Are you living for the Lord? Oh, Lord of hosts, said the psalmist. Oh, Lord of hosts, said David when he was being persecuted and pursued by his bloodthirsty son Absalom. Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is that man. Truly happy is that man. To be envied is that man that puts his trust in thee. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you truly trusting in him? Then you have nothing to fear. I'll be back tomorrow to wrap up this series. This series ends tomorrow. I'll be doing the Sunday school lesson on Friday, the lesson for the membership. And then on Saturday, I will have a new exhorters class. May the Lord bless you and keep you until we meet again tomorrow.
Father in heaven, tells of his love and the work he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loved even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I